Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
He is sacked. He is brought down by Kiko Alonso. And there's your ball game.
It's showtime. It's go time.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
10-yard line, 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, the Otis, my man!
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football, right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. Tonight on the show, we're back in our studios at One Bills Drive for a couple of hours. Coming up at 8 o'clock, the Moose is loose. Daryl Johnston, the Lewiston Porter grad, who went on to star at Syracuse University, now a color analyst for Fox, and he'll be doing the Bills-Bears game this Sunday. Daryl Johnston joins us live at 8 o'clock tonight. And Buffalo's own Thurman Thomas at 8:30, Hall of Fame running back with his take on the Bills, their preseason, and what lies ahead in the regular season.
At the 5, heads to the end zone, touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Back live at One Bills Drive. We haven't been here in a while, I guess since last Friday, last time we were here. Welcome, good evening, and welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live from our broadcast studio, we had a great night last night at NOCO Express out in Gatesville. Thanks to the folks from NOCO. Katie Peek and her crew put it all together for us there last night. The Bills crew, who did a great job. Jay Harris, our producer, a flawless technical show. And, of course, Sammy Watkins, who showed up. Hope you got a chance to stop by. We'll be doing that again probably next month, another show on the road, probably at a NOCO Express store. So stay tuned for that. But thanks to the folks out there, NOCO Express at North French and Campbell Boulevard, for hosting us last night. Now we're back in our studio on what I think is we're in the real fun part of the season. Nobody's lost yet. Nobody's played yet. Optimism reigns supreme over most of the NFL, with the season beginning tomorrow. The game tomorrow night, the Packers and the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow night. You can hear that game on most of these stations, 8 o'clock kickoff. So we've got a one-hour version of the show coming up tomorrow night, and a good one. But tonight's show, we think, is pretty good as well. Daryl Johnston, the Moose, from Lewiston. Or Youngstown, I guess, more accurately. Lewiston Porter High School graduate Daryl Johnston will join us live at 8 o'clock tonight to talk about he's the Bills and the Bears. He's doing the game on Sunday afternoon at 1 on the NFL on Fox. So we'll talk with Daryl Johnston coming up at 8. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, makes his regular weekly appearance with us during the regular season tonight at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on what exactly does preseason matter. What do we think about this Bills preseason, and what do we take out of it? I have a feeling I know how Thurman's going to answer that one. So all that coming up in the next hour. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to premiere a new feature on Wednesday nights. We'll go around the locker room. You know, we typically bring players in from time to time. We'll still continue to do that. But so many interviews going on today on what they call Media Day here at One Bills Drive. You're going to hear a wide range of opinions and thoughts from Buffalo Bills players and head coach Doug Marrone when we go around the locker room at the bottom of this hour. We want to hear your opinions. We didn't do a show Monday because of Labor Day. We did a show last Friday, in which we focused on the Detroit preseason game. Not much to talk about there. Last night's show, the NOCO show, I just got a distinct sense that people are down and out about this Bills team already. They haven't taken a snap in anger yet, and people are already bailing, I think. I just got that sense from some of the calls, some of the tweets, some of the comments I get just going around town. Here's the question tonight, and the phone lines are open for this. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about this upcoming Bills season? How do you feel about this upcoming Bills season? Optimistic or pessimistic? And what do you think their chances are in Chicago this week? They have it. Let me answer part two first. Let me give you my thoughts. They have a chance in Chicago, and not just a slight chance. The Bears were 8-8 last year. Let's start with that. The Bears had a chance to go to the playoffs last year. They lost their finale against Green Bay. The Bears last year were swept by Detroit, coached by Jim Schwartz and his defense last year. You should know that going into this Bills game on Sunday. Swept by Detroit last year. The Bears had a very prolific offense last year. It looks like their offense is going to be up to speed again this year. But defensively, they have some major holes. They don't scare me. the way some people are acting like this game should be something to fret about. They don't scare me. Offensively, yeah. I mean, they've got a really well-oiled machine, especially in the passing game. With Jay Cutler settling into his second year with Mark Trestman's offense, he's got a big, strong arm. He doesn't hang on to the ball. He gets rid of it in a hurry. I watched the Bears and the Lions last year, and I watched their third preseason game, a portion of it late last night when they played at Seattle. Cutler gets rid of it, doesn't hang on to it, has good big targets. Alshon Jeffrey, I think, is a superstar in waiting, probably this year. He had an outstanding season last year. We already know what Brandon Marshall's all about. Good tight end, Martellus Bennett, not a great tight end, but a good tight end, and a very good runner in Matt Forte. So the Bears are loaded offensively. The offensive line is okay. Kyle Long is a good player for them up front, second-year man. Pro Bowl, went to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. All that being said, this is not a major mismatch, the Bills and the Bears. I think, the way the Bills' defense played last year, coupled with what they've shown in the preseason this year and limited reps in preseason, indicate to me that they might be able to play with these guys to keep Chicago in check, especially given the track record of Jim Schwartz against Mark Trestman in that offense. I have a pretty good feeling about that. And then what do you got? You got a struggling Buffalo offense with a quarterback that it sounds like many people don't believe in at all and don't even want to give him a chance to play, apparently. I mean, 10 starts and we're ready to bail on him. That baffles me that people are bailing on E.J. Manuel after 10 starts. But whatever. You want to take that from what you saw in preseason? Go for it. I'm not. I just think it's a Buffalo offense that may be able to get some ground against this Bears defense, especially on the ground, especially with C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson. So their chances against Chicago, I give them almost an even chance. The Bears are home. That means something. Soldier Field, tough place to play. Always tough to beat a team in their home opener, which is what the Bills are looking at. The Bears in their second year in this offense should be very confident, and they've got weapons we talked about, but I think the Bills have a chance and maybe just slightly less than even chance of springing an upset in Chicago. What did I see? They were 6-point underdogs in Chicago. That seems a little high to me. But what do you think about this game? And what do you think about this season in general? Are you optimistic or pessimistic? And be ready to explain to me why you might be one way or the other. If you're pessimistic, tell me why. Why? Because of what happened last year, 6-10 wasn't good. Need to get better. Are you pessimistic because of the 1-4 preseason record? Are you pessimistic because of the quarterback, E.J. Manuel? Just be ready to, defend your argument either way. Optimistic or pessimistic about the Bills this year? Tell me why, and what do you think about Sunday's game? Phone lines open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show as well. Busy day here today with all the media in and everybody doing interviews. And really, it felt like Monday they practiced. Today really felt like a serious practice and had a chance to keep an eye on some of that. So I'm feeling good. I think this team was upbeat, by the way. And don't discount the fact of blue skies and sunshine and cool temperatures to work in. I think that goes a long way toward getting this team ready to play. They're looking at 72, 73 degrees, sunshine by the lakeshore, by Lake Michigan shoreline on Sunday afternoon. Very little wind, 0% chance of rain. Should be a great day for the season opener to the Bills and the Bears. All right, give us your thoughts. Are you optimistic, pessimistic about the Buffalo Bills? Where are you with them going into this year? 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. And we'll start with Dave in Blaisdell. Dave, where are you with this team? Which way are you going?
I am optimistic with it. I see more depth on the offensive line and the running back at some of the skill positions that I haven't seen in a long time. I know last year they started, I think it was Brown and Legerski.
Yeah.
And I think we were going to start Tool as the starting quarterback against New England last year. Obviously, we didn't, but it looks far worse last year than it does now. I like the team what it is. I like the signing of Carpenter. I like our defense. I like Schwartz. This is a different attitude show than some of the other shows, and I think people can kind of ride that wave of negativity, and that's okay. But, you know, and Manuel does concern me. But as a fan, I can take a big, deep sigh with knowing Orton is back there. And the only thing that would bother me, John, honestly, if you think Orton is better, then you play him. If you think Manuel is better, you play him. Don't fool around with it. And I just want to win the next game. Whatever it takes to win the next game, I support and I'll be for it. But I am optimistic. This is the most depth I've seen in a long time, and it's a really, really long season. So I'm pretty excited about it.
All right, Dave, thanks. I kind of echo what you think, too. And I agree with you about EJ. He did not play well in preseason. I can say that. I don't think he played well. He didn't show me what I was looking for in preseason. There was a stretch of a couple of practices, a couple of weeks of practice where I thought he looked good. Doug Marrone talked about it again today. How about they look at the entire body of work? They probably go right back to the OTAs that they started when they see progress in E.J. Manuel. And there is progress being shown by E.J. Manuel. But in those preseason games, not enough. I'm on board with that. I see that. That's not the reason to throw him out the window yet, I don't think. I don't think at all. That's not the reason to give up on the season, to bail on the season. That's what I think. Warren in Gloversville. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Hi, John. How you doing? Pleasure being on your show.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, I guess the roster, I'm going to echo almost everything that Dave just said, but let me just take it a step further with EJ. I say this to my son all the time, who's jumping off the bandwagon faster than I am. I've been watching football for 55 years, okay? I've never seen a guy with the footwork that EJ has on about, I'll say, eyeballing 25% of his passes. On 25% of his passes, his feet are absolutely parallel to the line of scrimmage, not perpendicular. When I watch the great quarterbacks, let's say Tom Brady, he's perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, and when he makes his throw, he steps with his lead foot towards his target. When EJ does that, he throws a pretty good ball. But his problem, I think, is he doesn't use that footwork enough. I don't know exactly what it is. It almost looks like he's throwing darts sometimes, and whenever he gets into that mode, he's very inaccurate. And so from the eyeball test, that's what I worry about. Do I worry about his character? No. Do I worry about his size? No. His athleticism? No. But his accuracy is something that very much concerns me. And if your accuracy is off, then all the Sammy Watkinses in the world isn't going to correct that. That's
all right. Thanks very much. And, yeah, I mean, you've settled on, I think, the major issue that they're trying to correct with EJ Manuel. I can't break it down to the component parts, the mechanics that you talk about with the footwork. I don't see that. I don't feel qualified to look at that and judge whether he's doing that right. They do have a quarterback's coach, Todd Downing, and a senior offensive assistant and an offensive coordinator. So I'm trusting that they'll, you know, if they see those issues, that'll get it fixed. But, yeah, I mean, don't worry about EJ's work ethic. Don't worry about his smarts. Don't worry about his athleticism, his size. All of that's there. Got to work on accuracy. Got to work on decision-making. Got to get better. Got to play more than anything. He's got to get a chance to play. 10 starts is not enough. I didn't do it. Maybe I should. Look at Jay Cutler's numbers after his first 10 starts in the NFL. Jay Cutler. I would imagine his numbers would not be that different than what EJ Manuel showed in his first 10 starts. Andy Dalton, I think, falls into that. Now, you can say what you want about how good these guys are, Dalton or Cutler. Cutler right now is, behind the wheel of, I think, a very, very good NFL offense. And given time, I think EJ could be there as well. I'll look that up. I don't have time to do it tonight, but I'll look that up because I would not throw him out yet. I think there's something there, and I think it behooves us all to sit back and let it unfold. Ed in Lancaster, welcome to the show. Ed, what do you think, optimistic or pessimistic about the year?
Optimistic. I think I'm tired of hearing about what we've done the past 15 years. It has nothing to do with what we're going to do on this Sunday. And I think there's a nice mix of veterans and young talent in this particular brand of football that – and I love the fact that we have a strong defense. I'm a fan of having a strong defense. I was there in the 80s. I know what it's like to lose. And that team in the 90s came about when our defense started to improve. And we lost in Cincinnati in a real tough playoff game. But that team started defensively and then moved to an offensive mindset. But my point is, I just think people, I don't know, it's football, so they have to always want to make these diagnoses, and we've done this over this many years, and I don't see that relevance. And on part on EJ is that his game is predicated on being able to move, maybe not always downfield, but he moves the pocket when things break down. They're not going to do that in preseason, or at least I wouldn't want them to.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that when he moves and that pocket moves, what he can make when a play breaks down. I think that's what you haven't seen in preseason, and that can turn a three and out into a long drive.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for calling. You make some good points. You're right about, and it's been mentioned before, the vanilla nature of the Buffalo offense in the five preseason games. That was pretty obvious. I've said on this show, I saw more straight I formation sets from this team in the five preseason games than I've seen in the last 5 years of watching NFL football. And I don't believe that's going to be the bulk of their offense in the regular season, and I think it certainly was the primary formation that they ran on first and second downs during preseason, like maybe two-thirds of the time. I don't think they'll do that in the regular season. Your point about the last 15 years, you're absolutely right. It has no relevance on this group. Most of these people weren't here. The fans were, and I acknowledge that. It's been painful to miss the playoffs for 14 straight years. It's been extremely painful. The NFL is set up so that should not happen. And to be honest, the reason why it has happened here, I believe, is the constant churn and turnover of football decision makers and personnel, including quarterbacks. Find the right guy, identify them, whether it's a GM, coach, or a quarterback, and then stick with them. Let them get better. Let them develop. Let them learn how to do what their job is. It doesn't always come ready-made out of the box. In the meantime, as Ed just pointed out, there's talent around the quarterback, and there's pretty good depth on this roster as well. Butch from the East Side. Butch, your thoughts. Optimism, pessimism, where are you going?
I'm optimistic, John. I mean, very, very optimistic. I'm very, very happy with this football team based on the talent that's on this roster. It's kind of ludicrous when I hear different people say if EJ gets pulled, they need to cut him and things like that. What people really don't understand is the plan coming in with EJ was not for him to start right away anyway. Kevin Cobb and Tavares Jackson was on his roster, and unfortunately both of them, one got hurt, one got released, and EJ had to play. So with Kyle Orton on the team, I'm very happy with what Whaley is and what Russ Brandon has put together. We have a good defense, solid defense. We're very deep, like the other caller said. We're very deep at those positions. And I think if Nate Hackett could just get a game where EJ can manage the game and maybe not try to win the game all by himself, I think we should be successful. We run that football, use the clock, use your tight ends, and then hit them deep like you want to, you know. So with a good game plan and a good solid defense, I don't see no problem with us not beating Chicago, John.
Thanks, Butch. Let's go to Chris in Amherst. Chris, your thoughts on optimism, pessimism, where are you with this Bills team?
Well, I'm still a little pessimistic. I mean, people tend to forget our history. We were told, wait a little while with Lossman. We were told, wait a while with Edwards. And we see the results, so I think that's why you've got a lot of people who are not feeling really good.
Let me ask you something. Who told you to wait a little while with Lossman and Edwards? Any of those people still here?
That's what you would hear over the radio. Everybody would criticize
over the radio.
Lossman his first year, and they all said, oh, well, give him time, give him time.
Yeah, over the radio. But who, Chris, from the Bills, told you wait a little while for either one of those guys? Because those people aren't here yet. If you're going to talk about what people say on the radio, I'll tell you, and I include myself, most of us don't know what we're looking at, don't know what we're talking about. Honestly, most of the radio commentators, we honestly don't know how to evaluate quarterbacks and whether a guy's going to be good or not. Most of us don't. And again, I'll include myself. So anyone who told you wait a little while for those other two was not in a decision-making position for the Bills. So what difference does it make what you heard on the radio?
In the first place, then?
What's that?
You know what I'm saying? They played them, and they played them for a long time when they could see that they were not, I mean,
do you remember Trent Edwards' first year playing? Do you remember Trent Edwards when he started to play?
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
Depending. I mean, that's the same group of people that said Fitzpatrick was good. And I think Fitzpatrick was a miserable quarterback. He was an interception waiting to happen. That's why I feel good at least about Orton.
All right.
Because at least you know he can control the football. Look at the interceptions.
All right, thanks. Well, we needed to get the other side, I think. Let's go to Rasheen in Buffalo. Hi, Rasheen, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jim, man? Thanks for having me, man.
Sure.
First off, I want to say I'm very optimistic. Number one, because I'm a loyal fan, number one, and I want my team to win. I don't want to spend a bunch of negative. I was so in agreement with the first caller because it's like you sit around. This is a Bills network. This is Buffalo. And you listen to not your show whatsoever. And I appreciate you because you stay open-minded because you're a fan and you've been a fan. But you listen to people personally attack players, so spin such a negative web about our own team. And they haven't even played the first game yet. I believe that when the season starts, just like you said, the preseason is vanilla. Sometimes they flip-flop back and forth. First, the preseason doesn't mean anything, and then it's indicative of everything. Let the boy play. When you see what you got on the field in a full season, let the man play. I tell you like this, Jim, I'm more worried about the defense with all the talent that we have than I am about the offense. At least the offense got a little bit of continuity. The defense will have a different coordinator almost every year. So I'm more worried about them than I am about the offense. I think we're just going to be fine, and I think we're going to hand the Bears a good butt-whipping on Sunday.
All right, thanks, Rasheen. Let's go to Tony in Lackawanna. Tony, your thoughts, optimism, pessimism, where are you with this team?
Oh, I'm completely optimistic. I don't know how that guy can be scared of the defense. Jim Schwartz's wide nine is very good for inside pass rushers and end pass rushers, and we have the best defensive line in the game, in my opinion. And as for the whole Kyle Orton deal, it's hard for me to believe that he's our savior, considering this is a fifth team, and I've never seen a guy be on five teams and come in to be someone's savior. Thanks.
All right, thanks for your call. Are people really thinking that Kyle Orton is our savior? I don't know. Here's Mike in Lewiston. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, John. I'm cautiously optimistic. The thing that bothers me is, it's kind of like with society, we have to have it now. We have to have a decision on EJ now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking back at, two of the better quarterbacks in Bills history, Ferguson was basically, he handed off to OJ for a long time. And toward the end of his career, late 70s, early 80s, he was a heck of a quarterback, great passer. Jim Kelly, he had, 3 years in the USFL?
Mm-hmm.
And really, he had a year or two here before he really became the man. So this idea that EJ is supposed to be the man after 10 games, I just hope we give him the opportunity that those guys had and are more give them more time than many of the teams that just, play the quarterback for a year and then seem to discard them. So that's the point I wanted to make.
All right, thank you. Yeah, patience, I think, is important for quarterbacks, for anybody, really. Patience means something for young guys. How many of these people, and the focal point is always a quarterback, how many people are ready to throw Leotis McKelvin out a year or two ago? First-round pick, bust, can't play. Really? Now he's a pretty good, solid starting cornerback in the NFL. How many people were ready to throw out Eric Moulds after his first 2 years in the league? A lot. I recall the headline in the Buffalo News about Eric Moulds being a bust. He wasn't a bust. He's one of the all-time receivers in franchise history. It's okay to be patient. You don't have to have immediate results. And I think at quarterback, especially, it may be important more than any other position to be patient. Randy, you're on the air. Randy, go ahead.
Hi, John. I'm optimistic about the running game and about the defense, but And I hope EJ's okay. It's just that what I don't like is that it's against the law to bench a young quarterback. Blake Bortles, number 3 pick in the draft, outplayed Chad Henne, is sitting on the bench. What do you think he thinks? People sit on the bench all the time. We own EJ's right 3 years after this. Kyle Orton is no world beater, I'll give you that. But because of the situation this team is in, and the front office, we need to make the playoffs. So there is really no time. I live in Denver. Kyle Orton is no world beater, but if we lose, imagine if we lose the Chicago game because of EJ, come home and he throws a late pick against Miami. What do you think that atmosphere is going to be like against San Diego the following week in Buffalo? EJ can learn. We have other players that were busts that were way higher picks and made a lot more money. It's just that he's at the critical position. So we can't just dismiss that we can flush seasons down the drain. So
I'm not talking about flushing a season down the drain. And if let's talk worst case. If Manuel gets hurt or if Manuel absolutely simply they cannot abide by the way he's playing, then, yeah, it's good that they have a insurance policy. But I don't see that happening. I really don't see that happening. Based on what I saw from EJ last year in his 10 starts and based on some of the progress that he's made this year, I don't see that happening. We're talking a minute ago, and I guess I brought it up, so I'm basically servicing myself here, so to speak, about EJ Manuel's first 10 games versus Jay Cutler's first 10 games. So I just looked it up. Cutler, 06 and 07. He started five games at the end of the Denver's 06 season. He won two, lost three. He had a quarterback rating of 88.5, nine touchdowns, five interceptions. Following year, 07, he was a starter right out of the gate. Won three, a lost four. So in his first 10 starts, he was 5-7. No, that's not right. I have to do that over again. With 17 touchdowns and 13 interceptions and a quarterback rating of in the 80s. 10 starts for EJ Manuel. 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, comparable, I believe. Quarterback rating, 77.7, a little bit lower than where Cutler's going to be. 6 and they're comparable. They're comparable. Touchdowns, the interceptions, about the same for EJ Manuel, completion percentage. I'll do a little more work on that. I think there's a comparison to be made there. And when Jay Cutler came into the league, a first-round pick out of Vanderbilt, a lot of people didn't know a whole lot about him. Early on in Denver, and I'm sure other points, they were saying, well, this guy's a bust. Let's get rid of him. Well, no. I mean, in fact, they traded him out of Denver. What does that tell you? They shipped him off out of Denver. So I just think patience is definitely a virtue. We'll get back to this discussion in a moment. When we return, we're going to hear what they're saying around the Buffalo Bills locker room. It's our Around the Locker Room feature brought to you by NOCO. Some of the comments from Bills players and coaches around the Buffalo Bills locker room today. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Moving through the first hour tonight, getting a lot of phone calls on the air. 8 o'clock, the Moose, Daryl Johnston, will join us, former Loopport grad, Syracuse. I believe his, in fact, I know this, I checked with Coach Marone today. His path crossed Coach Doug Marone's at Syracuse. I think they played on one or two Syracuse teams together back in the mid to late 80s. The Moose, Daryl Johnston, he's covering the game for the NFL on Fox this Sunday. He'll be joining us live at 8 o'clock tonight. Thurman Thomas, Bills running back, Hall of Fame running back at 8:30 tonight. All right, so I tried to do it earlier, and I just did it during the break. And for no more comparison's sake, other than to, I guess, plead for patience when it comes to E.J. Manuel. I don't think E.J. Manuel and Jay Cutler share a lot of similar traits as quarterbacks. E.J. is much more mobile, much more athletic. Cutler has a tremendous arm and good accuracy, and he's a pocket passer. E.J.'s not really a pocket passer, but patience. E.J.'s first 10 starts versus Cutler's first 10 starts. Cutler started the end of the 06 season for Denver and was the starter the next year. But in his first 10 starts, Jay Cutler, 10 starts, 4 wins, 6 losses, 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, quarterback rating of about 84. I can't really do that math. EJ's first 10 starts, 4 wins, 6 losses, just like Cutler. 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Cutler had 12 and 11. And a quarterback rating of 77.7, lower than Cutler's. That probably has something to do with the length of passes, you know, average yards per pass completion, etc. Pretty similar numbers, though. What does that mean? Are they going to have similar career arcs? Not necessarily. Is Cutler going to have more success than EJ? He might. But somebody waited on Jay Cutler. Somebody waited a while for him to get better. The Broncos did it, and then the Bears did it. They surrounded him with weapons, in particular last year when they brought in Brandon Marshall and drafted Alshon Jeffery. The Bills surrounding EJ with weapons this year, and you wait. You develop. You wait for him to get better. That's all I'm saying. I don't know that EJ will be as good as Cutler. He might be better than Cutler. I don't know. But somebody waited for him to get better. Let's take a couple of phone calls. Optimism, pessimism about the Bills. What do you think? Matt in Horseheads, you're on the air.
Hey, John. Best time of year.
Yes, it is.
I'm always, always optimistic at the beginning of the season. This year especially, I think we have a special team. Something that I haven't heard mentioned yet is that the Bears have been talked up a lot as a potential new Super Bowl contender. Week two, they play the 49ers, and I know as a former college player, you can't help but think of those things. You team to win. So,
all right.
and every year, opening day, there's huge surprises. And then one other thing, this is probably going to be controversial, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that automatically write off EJ. And I think, you know, you can't deny that part of it's racism.
No, I'll deny it. I've never heard that, Matt. I've never heard anybody say that's the reason why they write him off. I will deny it. I won't even tolerate that, because I when people say they don't like the way EJ plays, when they say they don't believe that he's going to be good, I don't think it has anything to do with race. I really don't. You know, that's just not a factor anymore in the NFL and in most parts of life anymore. It's just not a factor. I do disagree with that. All right, on Wednesdays, all year, we're going to take a trip around the locker room and hear what the players have to say. It's the Around the Locker Room. It is brought to you by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. Here's what Bills players are saying today around the locker room.
Around the Locker Room, what they're saying inside the Buffalo Bills locker room. This week's Around the Locker Room feature is brought to you by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. We start with rookie wide receiver Sammy Watkins, who made it through practice on a full-scale basis.
Feeling pretty good. Great practice. Everything went well for the offense and defense and everybody worked.
Did you say 100%? I'm just not there yet. I mean, obviously, well, I'll let you say. Are you ready to play on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm ready to play. With the ribs, you don't know whether you 100, they feel 100 one day, 80, 90. Until I get that first hit, that explains it all. And now I know how it feels to get hit and what the outcome will be. A lot of pain, lose breath, but it's not going to take me out of the game. Just get a breather, come back in the game.
What number you at now?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I feel good practicing and running around, catching balls, doing the things I've been doing. And the ribs, you just never know when it hurts or when it not. It just happens. You just got to move on from it.
Stephon Gilmore, who along with Leotis McCalvin has been limited in practice for the last few weeks.
I feel like we'll be ready to go. Just got to take care of ourselves, take care of our bodies, and go out and compete. And it's a whole defense out there that's going out there to play, not just us, but we got to hold up. We got to hold up on the back end and make plays, and the D-line got to rush, and the linebackers got to play ball. So that's what we got to do.
Running back Fred Jackson was asked after a rough preseason for the offense, can they turn it on this Sunday?
Things that, you know, we're confident in everybody in this locker room. You know, everybody in the offense, you know, we're confident in what their abilities are. We didn't game plan anybody. You know, we went in with very vanilla, you know, playbooks, you know, nothing game plan, didn't break down defenses, you know, certain situations and things like that. And, you know, it's game week. We're going to do that now. You know, we're going to try and attack tendencies and things like that. So knowing that, you know, knowing the guys that we have and what plays they're capable of making, we feel like we can score against anybody in this league.
Does it feel like this game is just taking forever to get here? Because for us, it is a long preseason. I mean, just kind of touch on that and how, I guess, just ready you guys are for the regular season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels like it's been forever since, you know, we've played, you know, a regular season game. And then, you know, having five preseason games and a long training camp, it feels like, you know, it's been a while. But, you know, we're all excited about it. You know, it's something, you know, we get to go out there and prove ourselves. So we're looking forward to it. You know, it's something that, you know, everybody in this locker room has had this date, you know, circled on the calendar. You know, it's time for us to go out and prove ourselves, and we get a great team to do it against.
Head coach Doug Marrone was asked if EJ Manuel has shown enough progress over the last 6 weeks.
If you're asking me, yes, absolutely.
What did you see specifically in him in being able to take that next step in going into this season?
Better with the reads and the better throws. And the one thing that's a little bit different for me is I look at it overall, you know, for what you do on a daily basis. So, you know, we're watching everything from every practice rep to every routes versus air rep. And we know that, you know, in anything that we do, offense, defense, and special teams, the last thing that happens is you see that, you know, on the field. And, you know, we're close to getting that stuff carrying over onto the field where it's consistent.
How much is it on him now that you're entering the regular season to prove it, you know?
I go back to the same thing. I think that, you know, if everyone does what they're supposed to do and everyone has a role, there's 11 guys out there, then it's really not as much as people think. So, you know, you just got to go out there and do what's asked of you and not try to press and just go play football.
EJ Manuel on where the Buffalo offense is now.
It's always pressure. It's the NFL, and our team, you know, we want to do great. We have, you know, weapons. We have a bunch of talent. So, you know, I think it's just, like I said, you know, focusing on what's most important right now, and that's just preparing for Chicago and making sure we go out there and do what we need to do offensively.
EJ, you know, talking about the criticism or whatever, you know, fans, media, whatever, they see what happened in the preseason.
Right.
Why should people be more confident about you and your play now that the regular season?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, being able to show that on Sunday is huge. You know, coming out there in a regular season game, it's a huge game. Chicago has a great defense, and they have a great offense and special teams. So I think it's a huge matchup for us. You know, I think I go out there and do what I need to do, continue to prepare this week. And that's why I say I want to keep my focus on Chicago, because that's the most important thing to me. I can't control what's happened in the past. You have to move and look forward. Chicago is our first opportunity, my first opportunity for this regular season. And I want to come out there and start it off how we want to.
Defensive end Mario Williams asked, how different are the Bills in preseason from what we'll see on Sunday?
It all counts. That's the only way you can really look at it. I mean, you look at one thing, we're going to be playing. We're going to be out there the whole time. And obviously, in preseason, you know, teams don't do that. So I would say that would be the biggest difference.
Preseason Bills, in terms of revealing playbook, you don't really show a lot compared to what you guys do during the regular season.
Well, I couldn't say that either, because we might have showed things we might not have. So anything schematic, I'm not going to elaborate really on.
The perception is that if this team's going to the playoffs, it's going to be because the defense carries this team. Do you accept that, or do you dispute it?
I think at the end of the day, each and every one of us need to accept the fact that if we're going to go to the playoffs, then we need to do what we need to do individually. You know, we need to be a solid chain, so each link of that chain needs to be solid, needs to be strong. That's what I accept. I don't look at it like the defense is going to carry the offense, like the offense ain't doing nothing. That's not team football. So each and every one of us individually, we got to say, if I don't do what I need to do, we're not going to make it.
Mario Williams, and that is this week's Around the Locker Room, brought to you by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills. We're just going to give you some snippets of what's being discussed, including comments on E.J. Manuel, the offense, preseason, etc. We'll resume this discussion in a moment. We got a lot more to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, tonight live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. There is NFL football tomorrow. The Seahawks home against Green Bay. You can hear that game right here on this station. And we've got a one-hour show tomorrow. Paul McGuire is going to be our guest tomorrow. He's coming to town in a week or two to host an alumni event. We'll check in with a former Bills punter. Friday night, we'll talk with Mark Kelso. We'll talk with Dan Healy of the NFL Network Friday night. A little high school football preview coming up Friday as well. And coming up next hour, Dale Johnston, the Moose, will join us to talk about Sunday's Bills-Bears game. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, joins us next hour as well. Let's go to Frank in Hamburg. Frank, hello, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Mark from Hamburg.
Oh, sorry, Mark. You're on the air.
Call, John. You were asking earlier about whether fans have an optimistic or pessimistic view of the season coming up. And I can't help but just lean towards the pessimistic side. I really do want to believe this team is better, and I think we have more talent, but these guys just aren't really living up to their talent. You got a first-round quarterback who throws just five-yard hook passes. You got a first-round wide receiver that can't seem to take a hit over the middle. You got a first-round running back that isn't fully utilized, and your second-round offensive lineman is only on the team because of where you drafted him. And you look at the defensive side of the ball, I like the addition of Spikes and all that, but I really don't think that's going to make up for the loss of Jarius Byrd being gone and also Kiko Alonso being injured. I think they might have a better run defense, but I think we're real suspect at safety. And with Marone being a newer coach, I really think he's still trying to figure it out. And if he doesn't get it together halfway through the season, he might lose his team.
Well, okay, that's the laundry list of what you think is wrong with the Bills. I would disagree with you about Sammy Watkins, who took a hit in a preseason game a couple of weeks ago and aggravated the injury last Thursday. And for you to say after that he can't go over the middle, I think is ridiculous. I think you've selectively picked apart the defense, ignoring the three Pro Bowlers up front, Jerry Hughes, the non-Pro Bowler who got double-digit sacks last year, ignoring the fact that Aaron Williams, I think, has demonstrated that he's going to be a pretty good safety in this league. You said C.J. Spiller was underutilized. He was hurt last year. They're going to use him on kick returns Sunday. Is that underutilization? I don't know. I mean, you want to pick your spots there, and you can make your case. I think it's a pretty lame case. Jim in Lancaster. Jim, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm right on the teeter-totter in the middle. Heart says optimistic, head says pessimistic, but I think what we're dealing with here is until the Bills as an entire team can go 5-1 or 6-0 in our own division, I just don't think this is ever going to end for anything. If EJ can come in and lead the whole team and sweep Tannehill, sweep Smith and then maybe split with Brady, go 5-1, he's going to look like a god because EJ's capable of stealing a game in Chicago or, you know, whatever team outside the division. But I just really feel until the entire team can go like 5-1 or 6-0 and just dominate, I just don't see a playoff hope until we get there.
All right. Well, you know, 3-3 in the division last year. They did sweep the Dolphins. They had Lewis at quarterback last year, and they swept the Dolphins. Split with the Jets. Lost 2 to the Patriots. Obviously, good division record means you're pretty good and means that you have a chance to go places in the postseason. We're going to take a break. We're going to get the Moose's viewpoint on all of this, the Bills and the Bears in particular. He's going to be the color analyst for the NFL on Fox, Daryl Johnston, the Youngstown native, Lewiston Porter graduate, and I believe a former teammate of Doug Marone at Syracuse. The Moose standing by. He's up next when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin! Let's go! Let's go!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd has absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
You ready for me to get started? I'm ready to bite.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Halftime is over. Second half of the show with Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas joining us a little bit later on at the bottom of the hour. But when you watch the game or listen to the game, but when you watch the game on the NFL on Fox this Sunday, the Bills and the Bears, you'll hear a familiar Western New York voice as part of that broadcast. He is the color analyst for the NFL on Fox, working this Sunday with Kenny Albert and Tony Siragusa. Western New York native Daryl Johnston, the Moose, is calling the game, and he is live on the line with us right now from his home in Dallas. Daryl, thanks for coming on the air with us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Daryl joins us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Hey, Daryl, I guess I was surprised. I was reading up on you today. I thought people called you the Moose way, way back long ago, but I read somewhere where it was your rookie year at Dallas when Babe Laufenberg came up with that?
Yes, yeah. All the other running backs, you know, Emmett wasn't with us at the time, but even my backup fullback was 5'9", 245-ish, you know, short, stout guy. But
yeah.
Nobody was as tall as I was, so when we moved from drill to drill as a running back group, I kind of stood out. So, yeah, Babe Laufenberg very innocently said I looked like a moose walking in a field of deer one day. So,
did you embrace that nickname, and do you still?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's been fun. It's been helpful for my career. You know, playing a position that doesn't get a lot of notoriety and then having a nickname and a moniker that people enjoy, you know, saying at the stadium, it's got that ooh, whether it's, you know, Moose or Bruce or whatever, you know, they all enjoy that one. So it's been fun.
Daryl Johnston, our guest, he'll be the color commentator on the Bills-Bears broadcast on the NFL on Fox this Sunday. Daryl, all these years that you've been on Fox now, I'm going to say, what, 11 or 12 years now you've been part of the broadcast team there?
Oh, gosh, John, 14.
14 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you still get excited at the start of a season, and how does it compare to getting excited as a player for the start of a season?
I do. I think, you know, all the fans do. You know, we get to do a job that a lot of people would love to have the opportunity to do. So, you know, we're still fans of the game, not only as ex-players but current broadcasters. So, yeah, I'm excited because, you know, this time of year there's hope for everybody. And it's fun kind of taking a step back and looking at the league and trying to figure out, you know, what teams are going to do well this year, what teams are going to surprise some people. You see all these stats now, how many playoff spots change from year to year. So, you know, is that going to be the case again this year? Are we going to hold true to that? Who are those new teams going to be that get into the playoffs that didn't make it last year? So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We look forward to it every year. And, you know, Tony makes it interesting every weekend. So,
yeah.
It's been a while since we've been together. So we do get along. We're good friends. We stay in touch during the off season, but it's good to get back together and start working again.
I was watching. Here's a Tony Siragusa story. I was watching practice today on the beautiful grass practice field, a beautiful 72 degrees sunny day here in Orchard Park, Daryl. And I was admiring the field. I was standing next to the grounds people and the groundskeeper, and I said, you know, I remember once when Tony Siragusa came here to watch a Friday practice, you know, before a Bills game, and he actually laid down on the grass and watched it. Does he do that regularly, like when he goes to watch practice as a member of the broadcast team?
Yeah, I don't think people understand how much your back can start to ache standing up, especially on turf. And you know, gosh, he played inside, you know, defensive tackle. He's the guy that kept Ray Lewis clean his whole career. So he's taken a lot of shots. So yeah, every once in a while, you know, we'll be in the meeting room and we're all sitting around the table and, you know, where'd Tony go? And he's like, oh, he's over here. He's on the carpet. He's flat on the ground.
Unbelievable.
Resting that back.
Daryl Johnson is our guest. He was the Western New York High School Player of the Year in 1983, went on to star for the Syracuse Orange. And I spoke with Coach Marone today. He said you were teammates, right, at Syracuse. The two of you played together.
Yeah, we had 2 years together. Doug's last 2 years at Syracuse while I was there. So I know Doug very well. We've stayed in touch, throughout his career as a coach. Had him down in New Orleans when he was working with the Saints organization on a couple of games. So it's going to be good to see him. I'm really looking forward to getting up there. Rob Moore was a teammate with us.
Yeah.
That'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Daryl, did you have a sense back when you were playing with Marone, a couple of years older than you at Syracuse, did you think back then that this guy might have what it takes to be a coach at a high level of football?
You know, as a player, I didn't. I think some guys you watch, and just from the way that they watch film, the way that they see things, they're not seeing him just as a player. They're also seeing him as a coach would see him. And, you know, a lot of times that's a backup quarterback. It'll be a linebacker, somebody who's got that control of the entire side of a ball. As an offensive tackle, you really wouldn't expect somebody like that, you know, to go down that path, you know, maybe to a positional coach at some point. And it's a credit to Doug, as he's grown as a coach, you know, starting from, you know, running game coordinators and offensive line coaches, and then having the opportunity. And I don't think enough people, you know, understand this part of it. When you get around really, really good people to be able to pick their brain and take advantage of that time that you're together and to have the opportunity, to be down in New Orleans with Sean Payton and be able to learn that part of the passing game while you're doing the running game and how they work hand in hand together and being around Drew Brees and picking his brain on things that he's seeing. I think Doug has always taken the opportunity to learn from people that he has a lot of respect for. And I think that that's one of the reasons he is where he is today as a head coach in the NFL.
Hey, Daryl, I'm sure you're digging into your prep work for this weekend's broadcast, the Bills and the Bears. Tell me what you've seen on tape of EJ Manuel. What do you think of Manuel as he moves into his second season in the league?
Well, obviously he's been under a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Locally, I think people expect a lot in that second season, and you know, he's talked about areas that he feels he's improved in. But what people have to understand is, and you're starting to hear a little bit of that as we get later in the week. This time, there's not a lot of game planning that goes on, and you are focusing on your opener. 2 weeks out. As you're winding down camp. So some of those games, even though the third game is kind of that dress rehearsal for Buffalo, their fourth preseason game this year, you're still not throwing a lot of effort in preparation and understanding what you're going to see, and you're pretty vanilla with your game plan. So I don't think it's fair to evaluate a lot of people. And there's a number of teams out there this year that you kind of look at, San Francisco being one that I think people expected a lot from, and they come out and stub their toe offensively pretty much the majority of the entire preseason. So does that mean that San Francisco is not going to be the team that we think they're going to be? So I think Bills fans need to just take everything with a grain of salt. Everything you hear from EJ, he has things that some guys don't understand, and you can't teach them it. There's so much more that goes with the quarterback position than just your skills, throwing the football, controlling the offense. He gets a lot of the other stuff that some of the younger quarterbacks that we've been around or read, sound bites from and their quotes in the newspaper. He understands that other element because it's such a huge responsibility. The position is what it is because of everything that goes along with it. It's not just, who you are on the field. You're the face of the franchise. You're the quarterback that's going to elevate this franchise to the next level, to get them to the playoffs. And there's so much more that comes along with that. So I've been impressed with some of the intangibles that I've seen from EJ, you know, during my preparation, getting ready for this game. You know, I've watched him on film and, you know, went back last year and looked at it. So I'm excited to see where he is once he's got that first game, his second season, where he spent the entire time game planning, looking for matchups, and understanding what they have to do from an execution standpoint to attack Chicago's defense.
Hey, Darryl, you said, and I think accurately, that at this week, this time of year, there's hope for everybody in the NFL. What kind of hope should Bills fans cling to? What do you think they have going for them that maybe people underestimate when they look at this team from outside?
Well, I think one of the big things, obviously, you know, defensively, and unfortunately with the injuries that they've had to Kiko Alonso, you know, Jarius Byrd leaving in the offseason, those are two difficult players to replace at your second level and then at the back end. So, you know, the front's going to have to be that much better this year. But, you know, you saw what they did last year. You see the talent in that group. That's going to be the key. And I think people are going to enjoy Jim Schwartz's style of defense. You know, we've known Jim. You know, Tony's very, very close to Jim, you know, from back in the days in Baltimore and then on to Tennessee, up into Detroit, as he's gone through the NFL and his different positions. And Jim brings a swagger. He brings a personality to the defensive side of the ball. They're going to be very aggressive, and you look at the talent that they have there. I think it meshes well with the style of defense and the tenacity that Jim requires and requests from his players. So I think the big thing from a positive standpoint is the defense should be good. You know, now you've got to have the other two elements of your team, you know, function well. And, you know, that's what everybody's trying to do. That's really what Seattle did last year. You know, we get enamored with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, but that Super Bowl, that was defense and special teams. And it was an offense that understands their role and their part on that team and doesn't put the defense in a bad position on a short field with a costly mistake, you know, very opportunistic in special teams, physical. There's a mentality there. And that's, you know, if we are really a copycat league and everybody's looking at what Seattle did last year, you hope to start to see people embrace three different functions of a team, offense, defense, special teams, maximize all of those, play to their strengths, what do they do well in each phase, and let that entire group come together as your team.
Darryl, I took a peek at the weather for Chicago for Sunday. 72 degrees, sunny skies, no wind, no chance of rain. It should be a great day and really one of the great venues in professional sports up there at Soldier Field, isn't it?
It's tremendous. It really is. And we've been fortunate, actually, to do this. I think will be our third home opener in Chicago. And for any fans that are traveling in, I'm never going to get his name right because I can't pronounce his last name. But Jim, who does the national anthem at the Blackhawk game,
has
done the national anthem on opening weekend at Soldier Field. And it is just outstanding. And it kind of sets the tone for the whole afternoon. So, you know, I got my fingers crossed that he's going to be there for us on Sunday, and we're looking for a really good game. But he kicks everything off. And like you said before, everybody has hope right now. There's a lot of optimism coming out. You know, just hearing some of the things coming out of the locker room in Buffalo, you know, I think that they understand that what fans saw in the preseason, because there wasn't all that preparation and game planning, that they expect to go out and function and execute at a higher level this weekend.
Darryl, we appreciate this. Thank you. We'll look forward to saying hi to you on Sunday. Thanks very much for coming on with us tonight.
Absolutely, John. My pleasure.
Darryl Johnston, the Moose. 14 years, he said, on the NFL on Fox, including this Sunday's game, the Bills and the Bears, with Kenny Albert and Tony Siragusa. He's a member of the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. He is 11 years in the NFL, two-time Pro Bowl selection, three-time Super Bowl champion. Darryl Johnston with his perspective on the Bills and the Bears. And Darryl Johnston joined us courtesy of the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for this Wednesday night. Thurman Thomas coming up at the bottom of the hour. Fresh takes from Darryl Johnston on the Bills and the Bears, I thought. Good to get an outside perspective. Let's take a few phone calls. Sean in Dallas checks in. Sean, we just had a guy from Dallas on the air. Moose Johnson.
Hey, yeah. Moose Johnson. I heard him earlier on XM radio.
Yeah.
Hey, John, I'm optimistic, and I just kind of want to share my thoughts. I do think that I look at EJ's year last year, and I don't think anybody would say that EJ had a bad year last year. I would think, you know, everyone would leave EJ's season as a little inconsistent, but no one would say that he had a bad year. So, I mean, all of a sudden, it just seems like, you know, he's fallen off, and now he's not a good quarterback. I'm thinking, I don't understand where that comes from, and I'm really a little bit disappointed to hear that. I think the offense, and I think we've already discussed this on your show, is been very vanilla. I mean, there's no way the Bills are showing anything. I think EJ's going to have a good year. I think the defense is going to be solid. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm really, really optimistic that the Bills are going to surprise a lot of people, and I think we'll surprise some people this Sunday against Chicago.
All right, John, thanks. Yeah, I mean, inconsistent, and I believe incomplete would be the grade I would put on EJ Manuel's rookie year. 10 games, two-thirds of a season. I'd like to see more than that. I think we all expect to see more from him and in terms of both performance and more from him in terms of reps and of plays, in terms of games played. Mark in Jersey City. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
How you doing, John? I'm really looking forward to this game and this season. I think with the proliferation of media, social media in particular, fans really don't enjoy watching football anymore, sports in general. They just watch to react to it. And I think that the Bills have a distinct advantage in speed versus the Bears' defense. I think their defenders are older. They're all in their early to mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
They're slowing down. And you look at the Bills' offense, they're on the perimeter and the backfield. They're fast. And I think it could be an interesting matchup that works in the Bills' favor. But other than that, I'm just going to enjoy week to week watching the Bills play, win or lose. I'm a Bills fan, and that's just the way it's going to stay. So I hope you have a good season, John.
Thanks, Mark. Hey, one question for you. I want to talk about two things you mentioned, but what do you mean? I think we're in agreement here. What do you mean when you say fans just watch to react when you talk about social media?
Well, they watch to react in the sense they want to, like, watch a play. It's like them criticizing a play. They watch a play, and then they don't criticize the play call. They criticize the result of the play call.
Yeah.
They want to, you know, go on the Twitter and tweet everybody how bad the Bills suck after EJ makes a bad throw or how he was a bust. It's that's all they want to do. They just want to basically watch the result of something and then complain about it. That's all.
I think you're right, and I'm glad you articulated it that well, as a matter of fact, Mark, because I think you're on to something. Social media, Twitter in particular, everybody wants to be the first to come up with some smart-alecky remark about how bad the Bills played or how bad that play was and be, you know, get retweets. To what end? I don't know, but I do think it almost accelerates judgments on sports. Sports in particular. I'm ashamed to say I don't pay attention to other things as much as I do the Bills and sports, but I'm sure it in all walks of life, it accelerates opinion making and opinion formation. And I think that's a disservice to the game and to many players when they get on the wrong end of that. Your other point, very good point about the age on the Chicago Bears defense. They have six players on defense who are over 30. Now, 30 is not the end of the world. But these are guys, you know, Jared Allen comes over, unrestricted free agent from Minnesota. Does anybody think he's in the prime of his career? I don't think so. Lance Briggs plays a weak side linebacker. I saw it. Mark Kelso, we compared notes. Lance Briggs looks heavy, looks out of shape almost, over 30 years old. Been in the league for 11 years. Cornerbacks, Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings, both over 30 years old. Jay Ratliff just signed off the street. Now, they drafted a couple of young defensive linemen. But, and they drafted a good cornerback, too, in Kyle Fuller, first-rounder. But there's age on the defensive side of the ball for Chicago. There's talent on offense. I'm not so sure about defense. They're coming off a year in which they set the franchise records for defensive futility. And think about that. The Chicago Bears have been around 94 years or so. And they had a record-setting franchise year in a bad way defensively last year. And they haven't done a whole lot, at least immediately, to build it up. We're talking about the Bills, the Bears, this Sunday's game, and about your expectations for the season. Pessimism, optimism, what do you think? Tim calls us from Florida. Tim, you're on the air.
I'm away from my radio, if you don't mind just answering a question, keeping me on.
Sure.
Hey, I think what's going on, we hold every quarterback that comes and plays for the Bills or has come, we hold them up to what Kelly said there. You know, he's spoiled us, and we know what good quarterbacking is. And also, those years, the Bills did go to those four Super Bowls. They had an outstanding defense. And that's what a lot of people fail to realize. And I think if we just go with EJ, I mean, he's not the best quarterback in the world, and focus on drafting defensive players, I think we'll be better off, you know, like look at Seattle, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle is built on defense. There's no question about that. And look, they're not married to EJ for – you know, the next 5 years or anything, But he certainly needs more than 10 games before anybody would make a judgment on it. And he needs, I think, deep, if not the entire season, before you want to evaluate him. They're not tied to him for 5 years, can't get out of it, but just, you know, calm down a little bit. Please, you know, give it some time here to see how this plays out. People are ready to bail already. Tony, on a cell phone, optimism, pessimism, what do you think, Tony?
John, I'm optimistic. I think if EJ Manuel just plays average or slightly above average, we're going to compete for a playoff spot. If EJ Manuel plays fantastic and our injuries are pretty much at a minimum, I think we're going to shock the world and have an outstanding record this year. Only thing that gets me a little upset are a couple of things. I don't like the fact that they're putting CJ Spiller on kickoff returns. I know the guy can return kicks, but there's more danger for him to get injured on kickoffs than I think in just being a regular running back. Seeing that he is the best running back that we had, to the guy that who you're about to talk to and Thurman Thomas, I think that we just need to keep him running the football as our running back, put him out in the slot as a receiver, and let him do his thing. I don't think I just think that we have other personnel that can do that job. And I'm a little upset about Sammy Watkins, because how come this guy wouldn't be wearing a heavy flak jacket going back out on the field? I know he's fast, and I know the name of his game is speed, but look, you cost this franchise an awful lot, and it's very imperative that you stay on the field, man. We need him. And, you know, hey, if you're going to be a tick or two slower for a few weeks and wear a heavy flak jacket, then please do it.
All right.
So that's
thanks,
the only
Tony.
Things I have, but I'm looking at 9-7. Hey, we could shock the world and be 11-5 too.
All right, thanks, Tony. I'm looking for a nine win season too. We'll kind of formalize that on the show on Friday night. I'll let Sammy work out how he wants to protect his ribs. He mentioned Monday, and he didn't want to get into detail. Sammy Watkins mentioned, and I think he mentioned it again on our show last night when he was with us, that he plans on making changes, whatever that means, and making sure he's protected from further injuring the ribs. So there's that. As far as returning kicks, you know, kick return opportunities are so rare now. I mean, really rare. I've changed my thinking. I mean, if you would have told me 2 years ago you're going to have C.J. Spiller run back kicks, I would have said, crazy, don't do it. Now, what's he going to get? One chance every game, maybe one every two games. He's got dynamic, game-breaking speed. I'd like to see it. Is a risk of injury? Yeah, there's always that risk. There's a risk every time he's on the field. I'd like to see it. I think C.J. Spiller might have something to offer. And on a team that looks like they're going to be challenged offensively, if they can squeeze out some better field position, drive starts, a little bit better drive starts, because they have C.J. Spiller running back kicks, I think I'm willing to take that risk. Am I crazy? I don't know. I'm willing to take that risk. Hey, it's been a busy day here on the radio show, very busy day here at One Bills Drive from the players, and a busy day at BuffaloBills.com. There's all kinds of good content up there right now, including Chris Brown's long report on EJ and his background leading up to the season. Bills Roundup is there with some of the highlights from practice today and some of the comments from the locker room. EJ Manuel's post-practice news conference, Doug Marrone's post-practice news conference. Chris Brown did a feature on Chris Hogan. All of it right there at BuffaloBills.com. If you miss portions of our show, you can go to BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show, but you can catch up on what's going on with the Bills by heading to our website right now, BuffaloBills.com. We're going to break, and when we return, Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, will get his thoughts on the Bills preseason, the Bills regular season, and what it all means. Thurman's going to be with us when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO for its Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, it's the season opener in the NFL. It's the Packers in Seattle, 8 o'clock. We'll have a show 7 to 8 tomorrow night, and then we're here for a couple of hours on Friday, leading you up to the Bills and the Bears on Sunday at 1 p.m. The season opener for the Buffalo Bills. Joining us on the line right now, a guy who played more than a share of season opening games for the Buffalo Bills, Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. Hello, Thurman. How are you tonight?
Doing great, John. Boy, they got you doing the updates and everything around.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you make as much money as I'd make, and you. I was just thinking, the last time I saw you, I think we were huddled under the overhang there outside the gym at St. John Fisher, waiting for a rainstorm to pass through. You came out to camp a lot back in August, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and you know, it's just, well, you know, I wanted to see a lot of the players. Obviously, I'm very close to a lot of the football players on the team, but also people within the organization. I'm real close with Tyrone Wheatley, Pepper Johnson, Donnie Henderson, you know, and those guys.
Yeah.
So those are guys who I hang around with and talk to about different things, you know, throughout the season, and looking forward to continuing that conversation throughout the year.
Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas is on the line with us. If you have a comment or question for Thurman, he'll be here for the next couple of minutes. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. I was going to ask you, I will ask you, what was your most memorable season opening game on the road? I looked it up. You only opened on the road a couple of times, but the one, don't let me put words in your mouth, but the famous 89 Dolphins game when Kelly ran it in from 2 yards out, last play of the game, was that maybe the best opening game you guys ever had on the road, Thurman?
I think, I mean, that's the one that's really, you know, that really stands out in my memory, that in my mind about, you know, that play. Jim, it was a pass play, and Jim decided, well, it wasn't going to be open and decided to run the football. And, you know, it took like, you know, 30 seconds for him to run 2 yards. So, but it was, I mean, because we fought back with no time on the clock. I mean, time running down. You know, I don't think we had a couple of timeouts. I think we were in that kind of that no-huddle mode, and
yeah.
we got down there, and he went crazy, and he scored, and, you know, as you can see Marv on the sideline giving the okay, yeah, he's in, and then running out there and realizes, you know, Jim is under a crowd of people and trying to pull him off. So if you go back to it, I mean, that was probably our most memorable opening road game of the season.
And that year, and even that, obviously that was the year of the bickering Bills later on, but even going into that year, it just seemed like things were unsettled, and when you guys were down to the Dolphins early in that game, I mean, it's hard to say in week one, but it seemed like things were beginning to unravel a little bit, even in week one back then.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you think about it. I mean, we were kind of in a new offense back in, what was it, 89?
Yep.
I mean, after being in 88, being kind of in a two-back formation with Jamie Mueller being the fullback and two wide receivers. So, I mean, this was something that, you know, that we were just getting used to, and for us to come out and win a game like that on the road, it was, you know, even though that 89 season was, you know, a 9-7 season, you know, we still won the AFC East and had a chance to move on in the playoffs against Houston. So, I mean, against Cleveland. So I think when you look at everything that happened throughout that year, that's when we decided, okay, look, we can be a pretty good football team if we're not bickering back and forth at each other. And I think after the Cleveland game, you see someone on the sideline, guys holding hands. And I think that's where, you know what, we became more of a team than anything.
Hey, Thurman, is it tougher to open on the road than it is at home? Or is it easier maybe to get away from distractions and away from the pressure of playing at home when you open a season?
Well, I think it's a good thing for the football team to be open up on the road because, I mean, we've been – well, you guys have been beating these guys up the whole preseason, not scoring enough touchdowns. EJ this, EJ that. I mean, just everything's been going on. For them to open up on the road against, you know, a Chicago team who the Bills haven't beat there at Soldier Field. I think they're 0-5, so, and they haven't, you know, beaten the Bears up there. So I think it's good that they're getting out on the road. Obviously, there's not going to be a lot of Bills fans there, but I tell you what, it's a step in the right direction if they can some way, somehow find out how to beat this football team in Chicago. I think it'll give them a little bit more confidence going like, hey, you know what? We're pretty good. We got a lot of talented football players on this football team, and we can compete, and it'll be a good road test for them.
How much stock, if at all, do you put in the way the Bills offense played in preseason, Thurm?
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, a lot of people put a lot of stock into it. I was just talking to Jim last week about the preseason or whatever, and he was saying, you know what, bro? Just do what we do. Just go out there and just, you know, whatever your bread and butter play was, run that play. Run that play and just try to, you know, just try to get a good drive going. Whether you score or, you know, try to win the game or whatever, what you want to do in the preseason is try to eliminate the mistakes, whether it's the first team, second team, third team, or fourth team. You try to Nate, the mistakes that you make on offense, defense, and special teams. And if you do that, if you make less mistakes than the opposing team, then you have an opportunity to win the game. And then, but you also have an opportunity to play well. So I think whatever you score or don't score, when you go out and just play well and don't have a lot of penalties and have a good drive and may not have ended in a field goal or a touchdown or may get turned over after fourth down, as long as you're competitive every time you go out there, everything is fine.
Thurman Thomas is our guest, the Bills Hall of Fame running back, as we get set for the opener against the Bears. Doug Marone's made it pretty clear, Thurman, that he plans on using C.J. Spiller to run back some kickoffs. Not a lot of kick returns anymore in the game, but what do you think of that, and how would you have handled that sort of duty?
Well, you know what? I definitely wouldn't get back on the kickoff return. I'll tell you that right now.
You would have refused outright?
Yeah, I would have refused that job in a minute. Yeah. I mean, I probably would have been a blocker or something, yeah, but not a return guy, you know. So, you know, I think it's just another way for him to maybe get CJ involved in the football game. I mean, look, I mean, who's the Bears kicker? Robbie Gould?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how is his kickoff? Does he kick out the end zone, or does he kick him short? I mean, so if he kicks him short, it's giving CJ an opportunity to, you know, bust open a good one, maybe get running all the way back. I mean, he has been back there before in the past, so and being a kickoff returner. So, yeah, I know you risk with having your starting running back out there, but let me tell you, I think this is the best group of running backs that are in the National Football League, and if it's any way to get his hands on the football, so be it. But, I mean, if you look at the preseason and look at what's happening, guys are kicking the ball out of the end zone. And so if they want to maybe pooch kick it or whatever, let CJ be back there and let him see what he can do.
For an offense that may struggle this year, what better way to give him kind of a jump start than maybe good field position, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, great field position, you know, maybe break a long one, you know, get yourself into a situation where, you know, you're not backed up all the time. So it may be a big play. It may be a big play that, you know, that will inspire the entire team for the rest of the day, offense, defense, and special teams. So, he's one of the most exciting players in the National Football League when given the chance to perform on the stage. And let's see what he can do. Let's hope he can go back to where he was 2 years ago.
Hey, Thurman, we have not had a chance to talk to you since the virtual reunion you and your group had at the Andre Reed induction ceremony for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know you were there. That kind of turned into a Buffalo weekend, that whole weekend down there in Canton, didn't it?
Man, I tell you, John, it was a great weekend to be around there, to see all the guys who came back and support, to support Andre and going into the Hall of Fame. But I tell you what, man, it was, you know, the day before the induction, I had talked to Harry Carson. He was like, man, there sure is a lot of Giants fans around here. And I was like, dude, are you kidding me? There are more Bills fans here than Giants fans. And once we got to that stadium, man, the fans, I tell you what, that right there should have showed whoever or whatever owner is going to own the Buffalo Bills that these fans are crazy about their football team and they support them week in and week out. It was a great weekend, a great week to be a former player, but also see all the great fans come out and support Andre and his induction to the Hall of Fame.
Before we let you go, Thurman, I got to ask you the question we've been asking our listeners to weigh in on tonight. The Bills season approaches, Sunday 1, the Bills and the Bears. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about what lies ahead this season for the Bills?
I'm optimistic about what lies ahead, and I think this is a big test for them. Obviously, with having Jeffrey and Marshall on the offense with Jay Cutler and Forte, I think it's huge for them. I think it's huge for them to come out and try to steal a road victory. I'm very confident in the players. I've been talking to a lot of the players through our training camp, and we'll continue to talk to them until they leave, until they go to Chicago. So I'm excited for the season. Yes, you know what, John? I'm excited for every football season, especially the Buffalo Bills, because I keep saying to myself, this is the year. So hopefully this will be the year. But I think with this guy, with this team and this young football team, you have to take one game at a time. And let's just hope that, you know, everybody's been saying EJ. Well, let's just hope EJ can play well, but also have the other players play well also.
Well, you sound just like a real fan, Thurman. If there's any doubt, you are definitely a fan, aren't you?
I am definitely a fan.
Hey, Thurman, thank you. It's great talking to you again. We'll talk once a week, I hope, on the radio show. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Have a good day.
Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas. Was there any doubt I mean, does he not sound like a Bills fan? You know, optimism every year. I think, he's got it. I think he's on the right track, too. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll have time for a few more phone calls, maybe a little more sound from the Bills locker room. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Thurman Thomas for joining us just a moment ago. Thanks again to Daryl Johnston, the Moose, who joined us earlier tonight. Got a good show tomorrow, 7 to 8 tomorrow, because of the kickoff game, season opener, the Packers and the Seahawks tomorrow. Squeezing a few phone calls here. Ed in Angola, you're on the air. Ed, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, Murph, how you doing?
Okay.
Murph, I am pessimistic, and I think we got a good team, but I just don't believe in E.J. Manuel. And I'm tired of you guys talking about this, you know, vanilla offense. Does anybody realize that the other team was playing a vanilla defense? I mean, they weren't giving us any schemes, you know, very few stunts. The guy had a problem with accuracy, and I don't know how you fix a problem with accuracy. If you're inaccurate in practice, you're going to be inaccurate during the game. And I like the rest of the team. I just don't believe in E.J. Manuel.
Okay, and I won't. There's nothing I can say to convince you, Ed. We're going to have to see how it plays out. Your point on vanilla offense versus vanilla defense makes some sense, but yeah, you're right. Nobody's game planning for each other, but I mean, you can be more effective offensively than the Bills were in preseason. That is obvious. They were very ineffective offensively, but they put nothing in to take advantage of what they were getting, the looks they were getting, and they did it deliberately. Because they didn't want the Chicago Bears to look at the video, for example, of the Bills game against Tampa Bay. Very, very, very similar defense played by the Tampa Bay Bucks week three, the game or preseason, second to last preseason game when the starters are in the longest. They didn't want to give that much of a look to the Chicago Bears of how the Bills would attack that type of a defense. So they played vanilla. They didn't put a lot of stuff in the game plan. And similarly against Detroit, and the starters weren't in very long against Detroit. So. Does it totally explain the ineffective offense? No. Was E.J. Inaccurate? Yes, he was at times. Other times he threw the ball okay, and he's had some good practices along the way. Again, there's nothing I can say to convince you. You're going to have to see it, and that's fine. I agree with that. Adam in North Carolina. Hello, Adam. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, before I had my comment, I just wanted to say, you know, I loved Van Miller calling the games, and I just want to say, for you and Kelso, you guys have done such an incredible job. And I just really admire you stepping in after following the legend like that.
Oh, thanks. That's awfully nice of you to say, Adam. In fact, this will be Mark Kelso's ninth year and my 11th doing play-by-play. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, great job.
Thanks.
I had a quick question for you, what you thought. I was wondering, Rich Gannon, I remember, was kind of a journeyman-type quarterback, and then he came and kind of just struck lightning with the Raiders there for a year or two. I'm wondering if the Bills are kind of thinking maybe along the same lines for Orton. If, you know, I want Manuel to work out, don't get me wrong. But if it's not going to work, I'm wondering if the Bills are thinking we got a tremendous receiving core, the potential for a tremendous receiving core, and we just need a quarterback who's just going to see open receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want I think they want an effective backup, and I think in everything that it means, a backup who can play if the starter gets hurt, a backup who can play if the starter is ridiculously ineffective, and they have to make a move. I think they want an effective backup. I don't see a whole lot of similarities in the way they play between Gannon and Kyle Orton. Orton has had some production in the league, and he's had some rough spots in the league as well. I guess I look at Rich Gannon as more of a passer than Kyle Orton. I mean, just off the top of my head, I think Rich Gannon might be more of an accomplished passer than Kyle Orton would be. But, yeah, the Bills wanted to get better at backup quarterback in case Manuel gets hurt, in case Manuel's play is at a level where they can't bear it anymore and they have to make a change. There's no secret about that. The Bills did practice today after getting Tuesday off, not practicing tight end Lee Smith with his toe injury. Limited practice for linebacker Randell Johnson, safety Jonathan Meeks, and cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Sammy Watkins, full practice today with his ribs. He said afterwards, it felt pretty good, great practice, everything went well. Sammy's quote, yeah, I'm ready to play, but you don't know whether you're 100% one day, 80, 90% until he gets that first hit. Sammy Watkins did talk about the short time that he's been playing with EJ Manuel and what he has noticed about his quarterback's confidence.
Very confident, and it's just rising. The more he complete the ball to us, and the more he control the team, and the more we look up to him and keep him accountable to his job, he continue to get better every day as in leading this group and being a quarterback.
Notice what? You're out there making a conscious effort to make sure you're catching balls from EJ when you're getting in line. Are you confident with your level of chemistry with EJ going into your first day this week?
I'm very confident with him. He's a great player, great ball. Great guy. He can just about throw any ball. But it's all about repetition and getting that timing down and getting the right reps. And Kyle Orton is a great guy, but he's not going to be in the game during that time. So the best time is to get reps with him.
Sammy Watkins talking about working with EJ Manuel. And this is a soundbite from EJ Manuel, who was asked the question that the caller just asked me about opening up the playbook in preseason. EJ was asked, how would you compare the regular season playbook with what you did in preseason?
It's quite different. I think there's a bunch of formations and different gadgets that we've added in going to this game. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, we still have our basis of our offense. We still want to move the ball. We want to run the ball. We want to have play action. We want to also throw the ball downfield with the vertical passing game. So, like I said, that's why I'm excited to get into this game because it's a true game plan week. You know, we really put in a lot of work. And Coach Hackett has a great plan for these guys. And I think it's just a matter of us offensively executing what he has for us.
EJ Manuel talking about the difference between what they did in the preseason as far as schematics and the play calling, the playbook, and what they're going to do in the regular season. You could hear the excitement in his voice, I think. All right, we'll resume this discussion tomorrow. We're on the air for 1 hour tomorrow. Paul McGuire is going to join us tomorrow, the longtime Bills punter, member of the 25th anniversary, silver anniversary all-time team for the Bills. And he's coming back to town next week for an alumni event. We'll talk with Paul about that. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the NFL season kickoff game. It is the Packers in Seattle. And then we've got a two-hour show coming up Friday night with a lot planned for that night as well. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Mike Jafari, our engineer, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. On the air at 7 tomorrow with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. From One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.